Hello and welcome to the Compliance Week podcast. I'm Joe Mott, staff writer for Compliance Week. In this edition, we chat with David Mark, Senior Vice President and Regulatory Compliance Counsel for LendKey Technologies, a lending platform used by banks and credit unions to source and manage loans online. Roughly 85% of these loans are student loans and refinancings. We asked Mark to tell us about himself and his role at LendKey.
I am Senior Vice President of Regulatory Compliance at LendKey, specifically responsible for legal affairs and, as the title suggests, regulatory compliance for the company. I've been with LendKey now, call it, for the last 7.5 years or so, a time period that just happened to coincide with quite a large shift in the regulatory environment surrounding consumer financial services. So just to give you a quick background on the company and perhaps give you an idea of what it is that we do specifically. So LendKey is a loan origination and servicing platform for lending institutions who are looking to gain an online presence with various loan products, which today includes private education loans, private education loan refinancing, and unsecured home improvement loans as well. Each of which of those products our lending clients have the option to offer to their current customer base. And they, together with LendKey's assistance, can also market the loan programs to acquire new customers and members as well. Essentially, our platform is digitally connecting our lending partners to retail borrowers. And as a third-party service provider to heavily regulated financial institutions, credit unions, and banks, we certainly have a very large role to ensure that the product offering and services that we provide in connection with the loan origination and servicing activities are compliant. Fully compliant, which is what I focus a large amount of my time on. And our lending clients are responsible for the acts and omissions of their third-party service providers. So compliance is obviously at the very top of their priority list when looking to partner with a company like ours. We are processing loan applications on their behalf. We are providing loan disclosures and related loan documents to their consumers. We're obviously servicing loans of their borrowers. We have a loan origination and servicing call center that are both essentially at the front line interacting with their consumers. So there are, you get the idea that there are a lot of various touch points in an area that rightfully so is very highly regulated. So, you know, we pride ourselves on our customer experience and offering a fully compliant platform to lending institutions.
There is a lot of talk lately about the right regulatory approach to fintechs. What are his thoughts on the quest to balance innovation with regulatory oversight?
We saw at the end of July, after a couple of years of speculation, the OCC, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, which is the national bank regulator, they announced that it would begin taking special purpose charter applications from fintech firms, which will subject these fintech firms to regulation and supervision that's very similar, that will be very similar to what a national bank goes through today. The OCC and others believe that, and many others believe that the federal charter that they're going to now allow for would potentially help foster greater innovation and provide more financial services and banking choices to consumers and businesses. On the other hand, we have seen a lot of resistance to this charter from the states, from the state regulators themselves, who have generally overseen the regulation of fintech providers doing business in their states, and they want to more so maintain a hold on this control. I think it was last year, both we saw the Conference of State Bank Supervisors, as well as the New York Department of Financial Services, I believe, they both sued the OCC in separate actions, essentially in an attempt to block the charter, claiming that the offering of this charter exceeds the OCC's authority. And more to come on that later. It's kind of a to be continued at this point in time, as those actions were initially thrown out for standing issues, but they might come back to surface now. And look, at the same time, you have some who say that the charter will actually not foster innovation because only the few established deep-pocketed fintech firms will potentially even be able to afford this charter in the first place, and the related costs and the associated burdens that this charter might bring along with it. And, you know, you have an argument that the federal agency will essentially be picking who survives and who doesn't rather than consumers. I won't necessarily pick a side right here between the fintech charter and federal oversight versus leaving the work to the individual states, but I will say that I do like the idea of one regulatory regime applicable to fintech companies and firms, as right now we are somewhat left with different regulatory and licensing requirements from state to state, which could lead to confusion.
What are Marx's experiences as a compliance officer at a fintech with a retail end user base? What unique challenges does he face, and what functions and actions take up most of his day?
We are obviously operating in a very heavily regulated space with many protections that are in place for consumers and many laws and regulations that are out there that apply to our loan origination and servicing activities that we are conducting on behalf of these heavily regulated financial institution clients of ours. So we saw, you know, following the Great Recession, call it about 10 years ago, we saw the passing of the Dodd-Frank Act, which placed very strict requirements on banking institutions and other lenders. And we also saw at that time the birth of the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, also known as the Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection, as they like to be referred to as these days. We've seen them in the news recently. And with the creation of the Bureau and greater regulator scrutiny and oversight, we saw financial institutions placing a much greater focus and emphasis on compliance, and that focus extended as well to their third-party service providers, making sure that their third-party service providers that they were utilizing had proper controls and practices in place to ensure that compliance, you know, that those folks were complying with applicable laws and regulations. So, Lemke, we've certainly had to evolve accordingly with the regulatory environment as things have changed, and certain areas within the consumer financial space have been scrutinized a little bit more, right? And, you know, we've certainly had to stay very in touch with the regulatory environment, and we certainly have implemented best practices from a compliance perspective, too. Going to your question in terms of unique challenges that we face, so we have about, call it 300 credit union and bank lenders that are currently utilizing our platform. And many of these institutions have their own practices, as you can imagine, their own policies and procedures that they have in place. And, you know, quite a few expect that Lemke, when they join our platform, Lemke as a third-party service provider to that institution, they expect that we potentially incorporate some of their own practices and policies within our own business activities. We have some clients who have, you know, very high net promoter scores and reputations for customer service, and they want us to provide that same level of customer service that their own customers are used to receiving. So we've gone so far as to let some clients actually come on site and educate us about how to do that. We visit their branches as well in order to pick up on some of their own best practices so that we're enabling our own team to essentially be an extension of that financial institution and extend that same type of consumer experience that their customers are getting today. So we've done a good job at, I would say, implementing a best-in-class customer experience that we offer to loan applicants and the borrowers that come onto the platform, and have established appropriate practices and procedures. And generally, we've been able to get our clients comfortable with how we handle things from a customer perspective so that we can generally operate using the same practices across the board for our for our clients. But I would say that catering to the needs to approximately 300 lenders, like I said, does certainly have its challenges. Now, in terms of what activities are taking up most of my day, I'm generally focused in on the pieces that make up our compliance management system, which is our CMS. So we view our CMS as being composed of three main areas. The first one being management oversight, the second one being the compliance program itself, and the third one being compliance audit. And starting at the top with the first one that I mentioned, obviously, it all starts with management oversight and demonstrating our commitment to maintaining an effective compliance management system and building out a culture of compliance throughout our organization, right? So we frequently preach compliance to our team. We frequently discuss compliance topics, both during our management meetings and our other company meetings. And I would say that it's been a priority for us. It's been an emphasis on us to, you know, ensure that our staff has a clear understanding that compliance is extremely important to us and a priority for our management team, and that they're expected to incorporate our compliance policies and procedures in their daily operations. The second prong of our CMS that I spend a lot of time on is the compliance program itself, which incorporates our policies and procedures that guide our own compliance activities. The training of employees. We have a very extensive training program for our employees that touch a lot on the applicable regulations that touch our business, the monitoring of our employees and the operations to identify any weaknesses and areas of improvement, and then spending a lot of time on ensuring we have a proper consumer complaint response practice built out, and that we're prepared to handle consumer complaints in a timely and appropriate manner. Obviously, within the consumer financial services space, having a call center, we're speaking to borrowers on a daily basis, applicants and borrowers on a daily basis, and we need to be able to address any concerns or complaints that might come into our call center. And lastly, the third prong that I mentioned I spend a lot of time on that falls underneath our compliance management system is compliance audits, which we have in place to review and ensure ongoing compliance with laws and regulations and just compliance in general with our own internal policies and procedures. So what we've done is built out an audit schedule where periodic audits on our operations are conducted by our own internal audit team, and I work very closely with that team as well as these reviews are conducted and finalized.
What makes direct education loans a unique compliance challenge?
Student lending is I would call it a unique asset class that brings with it some differences on the compliance front. The obvious thing that comes to mind, first and foremost, is that private education lenders are required to provide consumers with various loan disclosures that must be provided at various stages of the loan application approval and acceptance process. So LendKey, on behalf of all of our lenders, has to ensure that these disclosures are provided to consumers at the appropriate times and that they include the required information they have to include. You also have a self-certification form that you have to have all borrowers complete before loan disbursement, which includes information on federal loans and requires that the borrower provide information about his or her cost of attendance and their estimated financial assistance. So the slew of loan disclosures in itself creates a unique challenge. It's a little bit different in the student lending world. And then on top of the special loan disclosure requirements, many of the same laws that apply to other loan products are applicable to education loans. So we obviously have Fair Lending and the Equal Credit Opportunity Act. We have the Fair Credit Reporting Act. With folks who are part of the armed services, we have Service Members Civil Relief Act and the Military Lending Act. This whole slew of what we more so refer to as the alphabet soup of consumer financial services laws are really applicable to our line of business. So a lot to certainly keep track of and ensure that we're staying compliant with. Also, a big difference to note with student loans that I think is worth mentioning versus other loan types is the makeup of the borrower demographic, right? Which, as you would imagine, is generally made up of younger borrowers, many of whom have little to no credit history. So we see a large percentage of these loans being co-signed, which makes another consumer essentially responsible for the repayment of that student loan debt. Okay. And then over the last couple of years, we've also seen various states begin to oversee student loan servicers. So LendKey, as I mentioned earlier, we're a student loan servicer. And as a student loan servicer, we've had to apply for and obtain multiple student loan servicing licenses, and we've had to ensure that we're in compliance with the various state regulations touching on student loan servicing. So in addition to the federal laws that we have to be that we have in place that we have to be aware of and stay compliant with, we have these state laws that we also have to stay on top of. So that gives you an idea of some of the specific nuances and aspects of private education lending that we're concerned with on the compliance end versus certain other loan asset classes that might be out there.
Are federal changes something that affects your services?
Certainly student lending and the cost of education, the rise of tuitions have certainly been hot topics in the news over the last, call it, decade and are heavily debated. It's hard to open up the newspaper these days without reading an article about it, right? And politics can obviously play a role with legislation being passed in this area. We saw the recent Dodd-Frank reform that was passed, and hidden at the end of that reform were actually a couple of changes applicable to private student lending. We have other proposed legislation that's out there right now that touches on things like making student loans generally dischargeable in bankruptcy, capping federal loan limits on graduate loans, discontinuing multiple federal grant programs. Multiple proposals are out there right now that could certainly, I guess, play a role in terms of how student loans are provided to consumers in the future and implications of those student loans. But All these things, similar to rising interest rates, could potentially affect the demand for the loan product itself. But to your question, they won't necessarily change the services that we generally provide to lending institutions.
What are the compliance challenges that come with having the government competing directly with you for private loans in your market?
So we don't take the view that we're competing with the government for student loans, or I should actually say that we don't take the view that our lenders are competing with the government for student loans. The truth is that a very small percentage of outstanding student loan debt is made up of private loans, maybe about 5% or so. So I wouldn't call statistics like that to be much of a competition. Consumers should generally be exhausting their federal loan options before taking out any private loans, which we're very upfront about when we're speaking with consumers, as well as on our application, just because federal loans do offer some benefits that private loans do not. But at the same time, I think it is important to know that consumers can sometimes find lower rates with private loans. So folks looking to borrow for school should certainly educate themselves on all the financing options that might be available to them, not just federal and private student loans, but also look at the availability of scholarships as well as grants.
How is LendKey building relationships with traditional banks and banking regulators?
So with banks and other lenders, our solution certainly makes sense. Many of them are facing rising costs associated with their consumer lending programs and the cost of compliance on their own end. And LendKey solution allows them to reduce these costs and make consumer lending more profitable while we're able to deliver the seamless and turnkey digital lending experience to their borrowers. And one big area that many of our lenders rely on is our compliance expertise in this space. I'll note that I do work very closely with many of our clients' legal and compliance departments. Some of them are conducting regular periodic audits on our operations, so I'm in regular communication with them, and I believe that these types of reviews and interactions are very helpful, not just for the lending client who is overseeing LendKey's practices and our operations and the services that we're providing to their members, but it's very much beneficial to LendKey as well, and the continuous dialogue and interactions that we're having with our own lenders' compliance departments, I should say, really builds trust between us and the lender, and we ensure that we're always on the same page on the compliance front. Now, you know, we've also attempted to build out relationships with the banking regulators. We have proactively reached out to multiple regulators to engage in dialogue about our company, LendKey's services and products that we're able to offer to banks and credit unions and the benefits for them of utilizing our platform and services. We've spoken with the regulators about the lending environment and the regulatory landscape. And we also get the opportunity to pick their brains on what they're thinking about and have their eyes on at the current moment. So the concerns that they currently have in the consumer lending space and perhaps, you know, we're able to get some of their best practice guidance that they share with us. And in addition to that direct outreach that we've made to regulators, regulators have also become very familiar with LendKey during banking examinations. So we have, as I mentioned earlier, about 300 lending clients on our platform. And at any given moment, there's a decent chance that an examiner is in one of their offices conducting a routine periodic exam, which may potentially include one of the lender's programs on LendKey's platform. So I would say that examiners have certainly become familiar, even though it's been indirectly, in this fashion, just by examining our own lending clients. They've become familiar and comfortable with LendKey through this avenue.
That's all the time we have for this edition. You've been listening to the Compliance Week podcast. This is staff writer Joe Mott. Thanks for listening, and we hope you join us again next time.